Thanks for spending time with Fusion Community Church through our podcast. These can be accessed anytime through iTunes or on our website, fusioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you enjoy today's message from Pastor Andrew Fetter.
Putting all those pieces together and coordinating that many different people and testimonies and audio clips and pictures. Can you join me in thanking Pauline for doing that for us? In a church our size, it's hard to know each other, to know everybody, and so that gives us more of an idea of the families represented and those that we get to that are a part of this family called Fusion that we may not know intimately or personally, but to see their lives kind of grow on the screen in front of us and hear the hearts of their parents and their families, those that love them around them. Well, this is a great season in the life of all that are graduating this year. You know, graduation represents accomplishment in our culture. It represents kind of a couple decades of life committed to learning and growing and performing at the highest level so that we can move on to the next stage. It's a transition moment into adulthood, isn't it? To learn what it means to contribute something, to prepare to accomplish something of significance, to begin a future for yourself because of the environment we've been raised in. I mean, that's what shapes us. And now there's a new season of where we're going to kind of leave the nest because of the environment we were raised in, yet independent of the environment we've been raised in. It's a celebration of performance. It's grades that have been made. It's relationships that have been established up to this moment. It's the celebration of the homes in which people, young men and women, have been raised in. And there's great value in celebrating something that has taken a couple of decades of focus to accomplish. Now, all of us are not wearing caps and gowns this weekend, but all of us can step back into that moment where we did or would have. I mean, think about all the changes. Go back to when you were 18, 19, 20, in your early 20s, mid-20s. Think about all you had experienced up to that moment. For those that are graduating now, I hear a little bit of humor involved there. Yeah, let's think about everything I experienced. We'll talk about that in a minute. But for those that are graduating now, it's very fresh. For some of us, we have to step back a little bit in time and revisit how we felt in that moment. But we can all kind of step back into that cap and gown, the excitement of that moment, not knowing what the future would hold, the adventure, the risk that was waiting, all the changes we witnessed in our own lives and those around us, the changes in the culture that we'd experienced just in the first 20 years of life, all the things we'd gone through, the seasons we'd come through, childhood into elementary school, transitioning to junior high and high school, and adolescence, and rebellion, and resistance, and independence, and discovering abilities and gifts and passions that we loved, and then graduation. None of those individual seasons in our young lives seem like in the moment they were moving fast enough. I mean, kids are in a hurry to grow up. I know I was, I bet you were, and if you have kids, they are as well. They want to grow up. They want to get to the next grade, the next age, the next birthday. Yeah, there's presents and parties, but they want to get to that next marker. And it's a beautiful thing to watch unfold. But oftentimes when we're in the middle of it, it feels like it's taking forever to move from one grade to the next, to move from middle school to high school, to get out of college. Yet in hindsight, when we look back, it seems like it happened in no time. You ever notice that in an episode of television, they present a story, and in the first few moments, there's a conflict or a tension presented 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes in, sometimes less than that. And yet 21 or 42 minutes later, they've kind of wrapped up neatly and solved the dilemma or the problem or the conflict that they presented at the beginning. And yet sometimes there might even be a to be continued, like a part two. Like they didn't have quite enough time in 21 minutes or 42 minutes, minus the commercials, to wrap it up. So there's going to be another episode the next night or the next week. Now, if we're not careful, we could kind of come to expect or hope or plan for conflicts in our lives to be resolved in short amounts of time. The struggles we face with our own insecurities or fears can be made better in a week. Or difficulties at school or work can get better in a couple of weeks. Or that a major relationship we had that is crumbling in front of us is something we can get past before the mid-season break cliffhanger finale. Now, we know life is not a sitcom, that our lives are way more complicated than the characters written and presented on television screens. Although, wouldn't it be nice if we could wake up in the morning, have kind of like a little comedic thing happen before lunch, and then in the afternoon there's a little bit of tension or conflict that's resolved a few hours later, and we can go to bed and rest easy and sleep soundly. See, the fact is there's people in this room right now, every single Sunday that enter into this place and things have changed from a week ago. Things maybe have changed from a day ago, where they're longing and asking God, God, can you help me here? God, can you show up here? Doesn't matter how old we are, doesn't matter what we've experienced, doesn't matter what we look like or where we've come from or what our tradition is, or no matter how much it looks like on the outside, we've got the world by the tail. We've got everything figured out. Life is filled with seasons of tension, conflict, worry, fear, frustration, pain, heartbreak. I mean, you can put into that list whatever it is that you want. And there might be somebody here today that's asking this question, God, how can you help me make it through? Maybe you were asking it last week. Maybe you don't even know you're going to be asking it next week or next month. The reality is we've asked it recently and we'll be asking it again soon. Well, wherever you are in the stage of that question, are you looking for assistance from God? Because the best place to turn in looking for assistance from God is to his son Jesus. And one of Jesus' disciples named John, we're just going to look at one verse today in a short way. John captures something Jesus presented, Jesus spoke, just a short time before he'd be arrested, just before he would be crucified. In John chapter 16, John captures something Jesus said to the disciples that were gathered, and it's challenging. It's raw, it's real, it's true, and yet it's not theoretical. Because what Jesus presents here is not saying, hey, in theory, this is what life is going to be like, that there's going to be storms and trials. No, what he's saying is there's going to be storms and trials in your life, and I'm going to model that for you because I'm about to endure the greatest trial or storm any human being will ever endure, carrying the sins of all the world and paying the penalty for those. Jesus will die, and he will pay our ransom for our sin. And so in John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says this, I have told you all this, so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you'll have many trials and sorrows. Now, we can read that verse and a couple things can kind of stick out to us. If right now you would say your life is not in a peaceful place, you'll say, okay, what's all this Jesus just said so we can have peace? Because I'd really like to know that. Like, I want to know all this he said because I'm really in need of some peace right now. Others of you might see that second sentence and say, here on earth you have many trials and sorrows. Yeah, Jesus, that's an understatement. Like, my life has been nothing but a train wreck, one after another after another. Well, the peace that comes through everything Jesus has told us really is not something that just happened one verse before this, but it's really the three chapters prior to this. And so if you would say, you know, I need some direction, I need to find peace in Jesus, I would encourage you, John 13, 14, 15, and 16 is Jesus' kind of message, like the behind the scenes, behind the curtain to the closest people to him in all the world, him giving them these words that are comforting, words of direction, words of preparation for what's about to come. I'm not going to go into detail here, but I would encourage you to read through those four chapters. See, just before this, Jesus tells his followers, he says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. If you stay connected to me, if you remain in me, you can do anything. But if you're disconnected from me, you can't do anything. You can do nothing. He actually is that specific. He goes on, he tells them, you know what, guys, you need to understand, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I mean, we have all these moments throughout the Gospels where Jesus calls his disciples. He says, you didn't choose me, you weren't looking for me, I was looking for you, I was calling you. He tells them that as much as his Father loves him, the Son, he says with that same kind of love, this massive unconditional love, he says that's how he loves them. He equates the two together. Then he says something very, very powerful. It's prophetic. He says, right now you can see me, but in a little while I'm going to go away. He was basically telling them specifically, he says, I'm going to die. I'm going to give my life as a ransom for sin. Some of them resist that. Why do you have to do that? Come on, a revolution is brewing. All we have to do is rebel the Romans, rebel the Jews. We can take over everything again. Israel can rise to prominence. No, he says, no, that's not my role here. My role is to come and to die, to pay the penalty for sin. I will be buried. He says, in a little while they wouldn't see him anymore, but then he'd be back and they'd see him again. So he's talking about this resurrection. He was promising a resurrection, not just any resurrection, his resurrection, that he would rise again, and then later he would leave again and return to the Father. And so this is kind of confusing to them. So you're going to leave and come back, but then you're going to leave again for good. But you're going to die, and then you're going to come back and raise again. And they didn't really get it in that moment until it began to play out in front of them. And so Jesus says, I've told you all these things to give you context, to give you understanding, to prepare your hearts for what the emotions you're about to feel. It says, I've told you all these encouraging, uplifting, incredible, miraculous things that are going to happen in the next few days, in the next few weeks. so that you can have peace in me, because you are not going to find peace in your circumstances. You are not going to find peace in the situation. You are not going to find peace in your place in this world with all this hostility that's coming against me. See, many of us think, like the TV episodes we watch, we're looking for peace with our finances because money has always been nothing but conflict and struggle and points of argument. So if we can just get peace with money, then we'll have peace in our lives. Some of us think, like a TV show or a romantic comedy, we just need peace in a relationship. Meanwhile, the only constant that seems to be present in relationships is fighting and arguing and bitterness and resentment and selfishness and hostility and negative words and cynicism. Some of us think, like the TV shows we watch or the movies we watch, we just need peace in our circumstances. Like if things would just start going our way, we'd be okay. We would be able to see God more clearly. Because you don't know what to do with what's happening to you right now. You don't know how to respond, and you just want somebody to come in and fix it, and then you'll be okay. See, Jesus qualifies this peace, that it's not based on a condition or a situation that we experience, because all of that will change, won't it? None of that's sustainable. It says a lasting peace is found in relationship with me. And this is the profound part. See, he didn't say you'd have peace just because. He didn't say you'd have peace because you attend church. He doesn't say, I will give you peace if you show up to church. I've told you all this so you'll have peace if you show up in church. No, I've told you all this so you'll have peace when you pray. No. I've told you all this so you have peace if you have a Bible sitting on your shelf in a certain translation. No. You'll have peace if you download the YouVersion Bible app and check in on it every once in a while. No, he's saying the real peace is not found in obeying a bunch of rules, not just doing the right things without a heart connection or a focus. He says true peace that overwhelms our emotions, our actions, our situations, our thoughts, that kind of peace is only found when we are connected to him. Are you connected to Jesus? Kind of like what Sid shared earlier, there's a difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. Being aware of his existence in a historical sense and maybe even in a spiritual sense, I think God is there. I think the Holy Spirit exists. I think Jesus was the Son of God, but I'm not entirely sure. There's a difference between knowing, having an awareness of existence, and having an experience of his existence. And see, because our Savior rose from the grave, because he defied all odds, because he said he was going to do it, and then he did it, and then appeared to hundreds of people that we talked about last week at Biker Sunday, the resurrection was this event that fundamentally changed the course of human history. And because of the resurrection, Jesus is accessible for us to experience him. He's not in a grave, in a tomb. He's not a statue or an idol on a wall or on a shelf. But if we fix our eyes on him and pursue him in the same way, with the same tenacity he's pursued us, we will find him every time. See, and the reason we need this peace that's connected to Jesus is because life is not always sunshine and unicorns. Every weekend is not graduation weekend where you get to stand up front and receive the diploma, or you get the privilege of making a speech or challenging classmates. Jesus speaks compelling words through the New Testament, throughout his life and ministry many times, and one of the most honest, raw, impactful, and one of the things we wish we could change that Jesus says in the Bible is, here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. If we could, we'd take the Sharpie and pull those parts out of Scripture and just say, no, God wants everybody to have happy days and rainbows. He wants everybody to get a pony. There's not going to be any hard days, no struggles. He wants everybody to have whatever it is that they want. And we can have that feeling, and yet none of us that are parents parent our kids that way. We know that would create monsters. And so does God. Oftentimes we experience trials in life, and we're so tempted to ask God, God, why are you letting this happen? Why are you letting it happen again? Why is it going on again? And oftentimes we start to think that God is the one that, yeah, why are you letting it happen? God, why is it happening? Some of them say, God, you're the one causing this. But see, that's a misunderstanding of this world in which we live. It is sin that broke God's original design. And when something is broken, it doesn't work the way it was designed to work. You know this because if you have a smartphone and you have an 11-year-old in your house, when it goes wrong, you have them fix it. Because you don't know what's, it's just broken. It's not working the way it is, right? It's not the programmer's fault, not the designer's fault most of the time. Oftentimes, it's user error, right? Can anybody identify with that kind of trouble that rocks you to the core when darkness covers and there isn't a simple answer anywhere to be found, where mountains are standing in our way and we can't see anything except the mountain? And Jesus tells us those kinds of trials, those kind of barriers are coming our way. So finding peace in the midst of a huge storm becomes incredibly, incredibly valuable. But in addition to finding peace in Christ, God didn't just design us to live on an island, isolated, where it's just him and us. He designed a gathering, an ecclesia, a church, a place for us to belong, to live life with one another, and to practice the implications of the gospel, to forgive, to inspire, to encourage, to show mercy, to love, to listen. Figuring out who the people are that we'll surround ourselves with consistently is vital to us learning to navigate the storms of life. And this applies especially in transition moments in life. Graduates, you're in a transition moment. And even beyond graduates, there's some of you, you're transitioning to middle school. You're transitioning from middle school to high school. Those are significant. Some of you are transitioning to your junior or senior year of high school, and you kind of see the finish line coming. Who you surround yourself with is of paramount importance. You need people you can trust. You need people that will fight for you. You need people that will even fight with you if you're sending yourself down a path of destruction. You need people that love you, people that you love, and people that have the same spiritual, Jesus-centered focus to influence you. See, this year or the next year, you or someone sitting near you today, you or someone in your smallest circle of relationship is going to face a crisis. And that crisis could come because you'll be away from home, unlike you ever have been before, going to college or going away to military or going away to a career. Maybe you'll experience a crisis you never thought about before because your little baby boy or baby girl are going to be away from home and they're not under your watchful eye, and that's going to cause a crisis in mom or dad's heart. You might be in a crisis because you're in a new location, a new building with a new set of faculty that you're interacting with, a new roommate. And there may not be, it may be tense. You may be a new season of life with where there's more temptations readily available for you to participate in with less oversight. And it may seem like everybody else is doing it. And it may seem like they're having a great time doing it. Temptation's going to be strong. You might be in a place where there's a crisis of a new circle of influence that may not be as focused on your spiritual development and your long-term plans and goals as you've had in your home environment over the last little while. Every young person who can hear my voice, here or online, needs to be reminded real peace will never, ever last if it requires all the circumstances around you to be just perfect and right. Because the one constant in life is change. Circumstances change. No matter how much we plan for or prepare for, things will change. And things might be all beautiful right now, rainbows and sunshine. You might have a pony at home, but things will change. And where you anchor your peace will reveal how you'll handle the trial and the storm. Is it anchored in Christ, who's sustainable, who's constant, who's unchanging? Or is it anchored in something or someone or some set of circumstances in this world that will not stay the same? Now, I know for many of us, we left a classroom a long time ago. You have not been a student with homework in a very, very, very long time, and the color of your hair indicates that. Maybe some of you had a lot more hair back then. Maybe you can reflect on, you know, I drove a much cooler car back then. Probably many of us giggled earlier because we did some things we don't even want to talk about because we still haven't forgiven ourselves for them, right? But every single one of us, no matter how old we are in this room, we know that the promise of trials and storms is a guarantee in life. So where will you turn when trouble comes? Where are you turning today if you're right in the middle of an earth-shattering crisis in the world that you know is falling apart around you? Are you turning to someone who can overcome your struggle? Some of us aren't in a storm right now. And you may say, well, this message doesn't really apply to me. No, it applies to you even more. Because if you're not anchoring your peace when everything is steady and predictable, and you're anchoring it in your money you've got, or the bank account, or your career, your job, your field, your education, your kids, your family, your marriage, a relationship, a person, the car, the toys that you drive, that recreation that recharges your batteries. If you anchor at any of those things can be gone in an instant. All of them in one instance. That's what happened to Job in the Old Testament. They can be gone. And if we anchor our peace, our joy, our hope in anything of this world, we are setting ourselves up for abysmal failure, for catastrophe. And we're also taking away God's ability to use our trial and storm for a testimony of his faithfulness. Testimony of how good he is, a testimony of how rock solid our lives can be built upon him, built on Christ. What you do in the normal everyday of life and where you turn every day for direction and support and the circle of people that you are most intentionally engaged in community with, whether it's within God's church or it's somewhere else, that will set you up either for success in the storm or failure. Where can you find hope when you're sitting in a hospital and the doctor comes out and says, I'm sorry, they're gone? Where can you find hope when your spouse pulls you aside and says, I'm done trying? Where can you find hope when the office gives you a phone call and they say, you know what, we need you to start treatments immediately because the test results aren't good? Where can you find hope when you go in and you're excited about what's happening and all of a sudden they say it's a miscarriage? Where can you find hope when the teacher pulls you aside and says, I don't know if you're going to pass this class, I think you're going to have to take it over again? Pursuing Jesus doesn't mean that all of our emotions fade away and we don't feel things. Our hearts will still be broken. We'll experience pain and anger and abandonment and jealousy and frustration. Whatever is in that list you've experienced in the past, whatever it is you might struggle with, those feelings still rise up from the craziest, most unlikely places. But we can take comfort in the fact that Jesus has experienced this life as we did. He endured the same temptations we did, and he overcame them. And by his strength and his spirit at work within us, we can be overcomers too. And he will walk alongside us, and he will give us a place to belong in his church where others we can see and touch and hear and embrace and even carry us when we need it. So is your peace found in the situations of your life going your way? Or is your peace found in something much deeper than the events in your life that are outside of your control? If Jesus is the anchor for my soul in the midst of the storm, then even through the rain and the wind and the waves, the lightning and the thunder, I can stand firm and secure in the water that seems like it's over my head. Because the very last thing Jesus says after this in John 16 says, I've told you all this, my closest comrades in life, so that you may have peace, not in what you're about to experience, not in the events, not peace in certain behaviors or activities, no, peace in me. Here on earth, you'll have many trials and storms, and then he ends with this, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. If you're in the middle of a storm, if you came here this morning carrying a heavy load, I can promise you, God may not be able, he may not remove the storm in your timing, but I can promise you that there's a lot of great people here at Fusion that will gather around you and help to carry you through it and stand beside you, and that our God, his heart breaks more severely than yours could at what you're experiencing. And he wants you to know to take heart because he's overcome the world. These messages are very important to us in times of graduation, but it's also important because there's many transition moments in life. It's a transition for parents as well, releasing their children into the way in which they've instructed them and shaped them and invested in them, where you need a peace that keeps you grounded, a peace that helps you identify you are not the sum of your children, you are who Christ says that you are. So I want to invite our graduates to come up and join me on stage. Liz and Johnny and Georgia and Carson and Brandon, Haley and Aubrey Ann and Noah and Catherine and Billy, come right on up. And I want to invite their moms or dads to come on up with them. And we're just going to kind of lay hands on them. We're just going to pray over them, just kind of line up right here. Can we give them a hand? Welcome. Celebrate this. Yeah, we just have moms and dads behind. And fiancés. It's good. I want to invite congregation, would you stand with me? Knowing this, we'll have more gathered with us tonight. And so this prayer exists for now, but also tonight. Tonight as we pray, you can join us as well in prayer. Moms and dads, just kind of put a hand on a shoulder. Hold a hand. Get snot and tears on a cheek, whatever it is. Let's pray. Father God, your word is very clear. Moses was very clear at what you, Father, spoke to him in Deuteronomy, to train up our children in the way that they should go, that as we walk along the road, as we go to bed, as we work alongside them, as we invest in them and pour into their life, as we eat together, as we wake up and lie down, to look for opportunities as we're going about life to instill within these young people as they've grown and developed an understanding, not that Jesus exists somewhere, but an experience through us as moms and dads and brothers and sisters and church family, an experience of God's Holy Spirit, the power of Christ at work within us. And Lord, we know that we are not perfect, that we are deeply flawed. Every single child in this fusion community, Lord, every single one of them grew up in flawed homes, represented by flawed individuals. That we are combinations of strengths and weaknesses. And if anything, what that gives us more understanding or more gratitude for is the fact that, God, you are so faithful to be present in the midst of our weaknesses. So faithful to be present even when we sin, even when we fail, when we disappoint. And that, Lord, those are awesome opportunities for our kids to experience the beauty of knowing Jesus Christ. So, Lord, I pray in this transition season of their lives for parents who are allowing their young ones to go out into the world to embark upon a new season in their journey, and also for these young men and young women as they're beginning to spread their wings and fly in different parts of the country, not knowing what their lives hold, not knowing what the adventure or risk they will experience will be. Lord, often we are tempted to say, Lord, protect them. But more than that today, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would lead them. That even if it's risky, even if it's challenging, even if it hurts, we trust your will more than we trust our own plan or our own desires for their lives. We know that, God, you have a calling and you've designed each and every one of them in the womb, that you had a plan for them long before they were even a thought or consideration in this world. And so, Lord, we yield to your Holy Spirit's lead in their life. Father, would you draw them to yourself? And would you, whether it's a campus, whether it's a military base, whether it's a career or a field or a job place, Lord, would you help them to grow and become profound and loud testimonies of the grace of Jesus Christ? And Lord, may you cause moms and dads to sit back with joy and humility to know they're not good enough to create this child, to influence this child, but that the glory would go to you, God, as the only one big enough, the only one powerful enough, the creator, the designer, the redeemer, to so empower their lives to make such an impact on the world around them. And we're careful to give you all the glory and praise, Lord, for what we will see play out in the lives of these, and for the joy we have of family, not just biological family and homes, but church family, to celebrate these milestones together. It's in the awesome and holy and matchless name of Jesus we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen. We have gifts for our graduates today. And kind of in keeping with the message, it includes a very short book called The Cross-Centered Life, just as a practical challenge for them as they enter into this new transition, a new home, a new setting, a new circle of influence, to keep the cross and keep Christ at the center. So, thanks, guys. You can have a seat.